Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we come to Acts chapter 27 as we continue to read about and watch how Paul is continuing on this journey which God has set him on to speak to Caesar about the gospel. We see here he begins that journey on the way to Rome. So let us read together Acts 27, the whole chapter. Let us read together the Word of God. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustine regiment. So, entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coasts of Asia. Aristarchus of Macedonia of Thessalonica was with us. And the next day we landed in Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days, and arrived with difficulty in Cretus, the winds not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off of Salmone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo of the ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they should reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northeast, and enter winter there. When the wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called the Euroclodion. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive, and running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should go aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.' Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some island, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rock, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged, and also took food themselves. ourselves, and in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it. As we look at God's word, then, this morning, we see this danger which is brought because of the foolishness of the sea captain. And as we look at these things, we must understand that God is directing all of this. The center theme that we read in this passage is exactly what the angel tells Paul, is that God is going to bring him. He must be brought before Caesar, verse 24, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. God is directing all of this. Even the life and death struggle that we see here in this passage is for the purpose of his word being spread. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is that God directs through man's missteps and unbelief to bring his witness to Caesar. God directs through man's missteps and unbelief to bring his witness, that is Paul, to Caesar. In verses 1 through 8, we see that Paul is finally on his way to defend himself to Caesar. In verses 9 through 20, we see Paul's warning of imminent danger is ignored. And in verses 21 through 44, God promises and brings safety to Paul's crew, even through the shipwreck. So Paul is finally on his way to defend himself to Caesar. Paul is delivered under care of Julius, a centurion of the Augustinian regiment, and he is to be brought then to Caesar to make his defense of himself, as we have seen in recent weeks, a defense that really wasn't very necessary, yet this was for the glory of God. And we see that Julius treats Paul kindly because of this fact. Paul is given opportunity when he comes to Sidon to speak to his friends, to receive care there. And so they sail, and yet they're sailing against a contrary wind. They're sailing in the lee of islands to be able to make movement forward in spite of these contrary winds, we read in verses 4 and 7. And they finally arrive in a place called Fair Havens. But this is not a place, as we read in verse 12, where you can winter a ship. And so there is this desire to move forward, yet there is danger, as Paul tells them. And so Paul warns of imminent danger, and yet it is ignored. Now Paul's knowledge of the seasons causes him to advise against further sailing. The voyage had been slow to this point, and the time of year was getting late, past the fast, which is speaking of the Day of Atonement. September 26th would be the Day of the Atonement this year. So it's getting later in the fall, and Paul warns that there is going to be loss of the ship, loss of cargo, loss of lives, verse 10. But what does Paul know? Paul's not a sailor by trade. And so the centurion listens to the pilot of the ship and the owner of the ship much more than to Paul. There's something we need to realize here. Knowledge of God and trust in God is much more important than knowledge of human devices in this world. Furthermore, the harbor was not suitable to winter in. They hoped to reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, which would be a much better place for them to winter, for the ship to winter. And so Paul's warning is ignored. And so the ship is brought out, and the servant of God is furiously storm-tossed. They obtain a gentle wind, it seems like a good time to go, and they head out, verse 13. That which seems to be the easy way, however, is not here. A northeaster, that which we read called a Euroclydon, we read strikes down from the land. And the ship is caught, and they couldn't even face it into the wind, so they allowed themselves to be driven by it. They turn the back of the ship toward the wind to be driven by this wind. And so in the lee of Cada, they secured the ship's skiff. We read verse 16. Sail is struck. The ship is undergirded with cables and allowed to be driven by the winds without even a sail up. And we read in verses 18 and 19, and the load is lightened to prevent the ship from running aground. We read that even the ship's tackle is tossed overboard. And we read in verse 20, human hope has been given up. They don't know. They're pretty certain they're not going to live. And so we read that Paul's warning is ignored, and that this warning would have saved lives. And yet we realize, as we read further in the passage, that God is he who provides life and safety. And so God promises and brings safety to Paul's crew, even through shipwreck. God promises safety. God promises that safety through his angel. He tells them that there is going to be a shipwreck, and yet none of them will die. You should have listened to me. Paul reminds them of his warning, yet I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life, verse 22, among you, but only of the ship. God promises them safety, but at that same time, Paul tells them about the fact that he is on his way to Caesar. We read, there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, but you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God, and it will be just as it was told you. However, we must run aground on a certain island. And so God is bringing Paul to Caesar. As we said, this is the center of what's going on here. God is directing this passage, even through these trials. They are to trust in God's promise. Paul is to trust in God's promise. He's not to fear that which man can do to him, even what the powers of the winds and of the waves could do to him. And so they continue in the driving of the ship, yet they have confidence in God's promise, is what we read in verses 27 through 38. They are driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, not a small area, and the sailors sense that they are drawing near land. And so they begin to take soundings, fathoms. Verse 20, then 15, their bottom is getting shallower, so they drop anchor to prevent running aground at night. And the sailors attempt to escape. And yet, we read, Paul stops them through the centurion. All hands need to be there to save everyone. Those skilled at seafaring need to be there to help those who are not, the prisoners, and so on. And so Paul encourages, we read, the company at the break of day to take food and to trust in God. Nourishment was needed. They hadn't eaten in 14 days. They needed nourishment to handle being shipwrecked, and Paul gives thanks to God before it even happens. Again, the ship is lightened, the weed is thrown overboard, and even as we see this promise of God that there was going to be a shipwreck, and yet at that same time that the whole company is going to be saved, man continues to seek to avoid God's promised trouble. Yet God saves in spite of those actions. They try to run the ship into a bay, but they strike a reef, and they run aground. The prow stuck fast, the stern being broken up by the waves. And yet, even as we see this, Paul and the prisoners are about to be killed by the soldiers. Yet the centurion stops this, and we read that they all escape safely. And so as we look at this passage, we see an awful lot of bad things going on because of man's missteps and because of man's unbelief. Yet God is bringing his witness through. And we need to understand that no matter what happens to us in this world, God is bringing his witness through us. And we are to live to his glory. We are to serve him through all things. And we are not to be afraid of what man can do to us, what this world can do to us. As Jesus teaches, we are to fear God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We are to live for him alone in everything. We are to glorify him day by day, moment by moment. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Start the Week this morning. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. We have begun worship services in Dickinson. My colleague, Reverend Dale Clark, is pastoring a chapel of Salem Reformed Church, First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. They are meeting at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 2 p.m. Sundays for worship. If you have any questions, again, that number is 701-288-3265. If Ashley or Dickinson are too or far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Golden Valley, Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism. Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be happy to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.